Hello, listeners, watchers, and subscribers. Welcome back to another chapter of the SDR Disco Call Show. If this is your first time, or perhaps this is your second, third, or fourth time, this show is all about sales development, where we speak to great people within the industry of tech sales to learn about their stories, how did they get into this, insights around careers, to share these best practices with our listeners to help you become happy sellers. And my name is Neil Bouyan, your host. So with a guest that we've gotten today, which I'm super, super freaking excited about, the way this came about was a couple of weeks back on LinkedIn, a great person called Jan Mundorf, who, you know, has been on the show before, tagged me in a really nice post about positive salespeople that he knows. And within that post, there was this other gentleman which liked the post and, you know, perhaps got a little bit curious. So me and this person connected. We got onto a call and, you know, what he's doing in terms of the sales profession and help elevating it, my hat's off to him, right? But guess, without further ado, could you please introduce yourself? Who are you, sir?
Thanks for the introduction, Neil. My name is Dominik Klingbeck. I'm the co-founder of The Artist Circus. And as you mentioned, actually, I'm not a co-founder that long. I was working in sales myself for over 10 years. I actually started in 2009. As an SDR myself, and went through a couple of roles, like actually everything you could possibly imagine in sales. But we will talk about it later on, I guess. I have a great passion for sales, and that's why I decided also to come to your podcast. And I'm really excited about our conversation today, Neil.
Thank you so much. And there is so much that we're going to be able to delve in today, because I really do want to pick your brain. And as a gentle reminder for our listeners and watchers, if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, please make sure that you give us a rating and a share so we can get this out to more ears. And if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, please make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe down below. Now, Dominik, I know whereabouts in the world you are, but for our listeners and watchers, where are you based in the world, Dominik?
Yeah, I'm based in Berlin. I grew up here, born and raised in Berlin. That's one of the reasons why I'm quite connected to the German sales and especially the startup scene. Yeah.
Wunderbar. I love it. And Dominik, outside of the world of sales, what kind of passions and hobbies and interests do you have, sir?
So, I was quite a young father. So I have two kids, 10 and 4 years old, married for my beautiful wife. And that's actually my main hobby, to be honest. But also I love doing sports, going to a gym with my best friend regularly. So yeah, sports and family, actually.
I love music, by the way.
We talked about this as well.
to be honest, audience, like me and Dom, we have quite a lot of synergies and similar passions equally. So as you can see, my man has got a proper setup because he does his own podcast, and we're going to be talking about that as well. And when I was meeting Dom for the first time, I saw that beautiful piece of ink just below his jawline. And I was like, I've got a chest tattoo as well. And I've got an affinity with music. So yeah, this was something that needed to happen. And I'm very happy that it's happening right now. So obviously, like for our regular audience and those that are new, what we typically do at this point is visit our guest's LinkedIn profile. And as always, with all of our show notes, we'll be putting Dominik's LinkedIn URL into the show notes so that if you want to connect with him, pick his brain, or learn more about what he's doing in the world of sales, feel free to do so. But Dominik, as you mentioned and alluded to, you've had an extensive career, my man. Like, you've been a lot of places, you've done a lot of things, and at a super high level. You know, you've been a senior sales manager, you've worked in partner sales, you've been a consultant. You worked at a really cool company, Plio, which I'm very familiar with. You know, you're an ambassador for SDRs of Germany. Hello, Mattia. You're a founder of your own podcast and, you know, co-founder of The Artist Circus, which is something I'm so excited. And we're going to dive into that a little bit later. But, you know, rather than sounding like a boring job interview, Dominik, could you, in your own words, tell us your story of, like, how did you get into this sales gig? What have you gone through, and how did you end up where you are today, sir?
Happy to do so. And funny fun fact, I was actually I didn't went to university. I think that's also something that's quite important for me, at least, because I feel like nowadays there's like a lot of people saying, hey, you need to go to university to be successful in business. And I think that's not the case. So you can, I think that's especially in sales, we have lots of people that like did crazy stuff before, yeah, like worked at the restaurants or in the kitchen or something like this, and then super successful in sales. So back then, like 2009, I actually started a hotel apprenticeship. So I did, like, in Germany you have something called Ausbildung, so you need to go to work for 2.5 years, and it's like a dual system, going to school and learning on the job. And I did this back then for the hotel industry. So after school, I was actually super, super interested in having, like, or doing events. And the hotel I picked was actually the biggest hotel in Germany. They had, like, a huge event complex. And that was always my dream. Say, I want to work in the event space. So, yeah. But then it came a little bit different. I did the hotel thing. And afterwards, after 2.5 years, back then, actually, I had my first sales experience, because before I started this, I needed to go there for like a, like 1 year, Praktikum in Germany. So it's like also learning on the job, right? It's not a real
work experience.
Yeah, it's like you just go there and you learn it.
Yeah.
And back then, I was working in marketing. So what actually was just like a call center agent, right? I was just calling people, like 80 to 100 people a day.
Wow.
And tried to convince them to put our flyers in their shops. So it was just like 1 year, nothing else. And we didn't have LinkedIn. We didn't have like a lot of social media. So it was actually just calling and sending letters, right? So that was my
first
experience.
Like what we call guerrilla marketing, right?
Yeah. So that was my first experience with sales back then. And then I was quite happy to get out of this after 1 year, to be honest. And then I was actually quite excited about the job in a hotel, because you had like so much touch points with people. You were talking with people. And I really liked what I was doing back then. So also my idea of what I would like to work changed a little bit back then. I saw the sales teams back then in the hotel, and I was like, oh no, I couldn't do this. You know, working in an office, it's quite boring. I don't want to do this. And after the hotel experience, I went on the cruise line ship on AIDA. We're also selling tickets on board. So it was also slightly a sales job. But all of this all time has been like B2C sales, right? And after a couple of years, I was trying out different things, also worked in a gym. I decided to go in the first startup. And that was actually my first B2B sales experience. And there I was actually then finding out, okay, that's actually quite cool. I like what I'm doing. Also introduced web demos back then, was quite new. And sharing screens and stuff like this. Most of the people were just selling on the phone. So it was quite new. So I made my way through different startups, and as you said, like also sold to mayors and cities back then at ParkNow. So basically what I said in the beginning, basically did quite everything you could possibly imagine in sales, but always knew, okay, one day I want to do my own stuff.
And if it's right to just pause you there for a minute and interject, because I think there's something very interesting here in terms of working within the hotels and the hospitality sector, just before when you went into your first startup. So, you know, I've met a lot of people that have worked in the hospitality space, you know, dealing with people day in, day out, customers, complaints, selling, you know, upgrades and add-ons and stuff like that. In your own, like, experience, what sort of skills do you think helped you from that, working in that space, that helps you today, Dominic?
I think one of the most important things is resilience. I think resilience is a super important skill if you work in sales, and that you will learn in hospitality, right? It's like one of the basic skills, basically. Another one is communication or reading people's minds. I think that was also one thing I remember back then. My boss came to me and said, you need to know what people want before they tell you, right? So it's like, and you need to be prepared. I think that's also something you can relate to in sales. If you prepare well for your demos and your conversations, and you know what could be in an objections and stuff like this, you will be way more confident answering as when you just sit there and you will be surprised and you don't know what to say. You're getting nervous, right? So
yeah,
preparation, communication, and resilience, I think it's three skills you can learn in hospitality for sure.
100%. And I was speaking to an SDR this morning, and this guy, who's going to be a future guest on our show, he was talking about, you know, it's been a hard quarter so far in terms of targets. And even though a lot of people are on holiday and, you know, he doesn't really have to hard work, he's doing a lot of preparation to make sure that his Q3 and Q4 are on point. And, you know, we both agreed on the old analogy of, you know, failing to plan is planning to fail. So that's definitely key. Always having that prep before you jump onto a call, before you jump onto a cold call, or, you know, if you're having a meeting, doing that. Like even with us, you know, we did prep before we came on for this show. There's prep is always good. And the resilience piece, you're right, because I think I used to work in food. So I used to work for like Pizza Hut and, you know, dealing with angry, irate customers, or, you know, when you're taking orders, they're like, oh, I don't really know what I want. But then you're like, do you want this? Do you want that? And, you know, getting used to those sort of conversations, 100%. So coming back to, you know, you've just gone into this first B2B startup and, you know, you're doing demos, you're doing stuff which isn't really normal to what you were experienced back then. What was that life like?
I mean, I really enjoyed having like a structured working week, right, from Monday to Friday, because when you work on a cruise line ship or like in hotel industry or even a gym, you need to work like a lot, right? It's like 7 days a week. You're working on Christmas and on the weekend. So that was actually also the reason why I decided to go, okay, I want to work in an office, having a structured job Monday to Friday and, you know, 9 to 5. So that was actually the reason why I decided to do this. But then as you said, I think that's also one of the reasons why I decided to start with the ARS circus is that at least in Germany, we have a very old way of looking at salespeople. So it feels like tech sales in itself and the profession still has a very bad reputation. And that is something I disagree with, right? I was also, also I've experienced in my own career, I was like, hey, in sales is so much more than just like this door-to-door sales and the sleazy sales guys, you know, like running around with a tie. that's not sales anymore. It's so much more. Yeah. And it's fun, right? And you can actually grow so much, like your personality. And that's what I love about it. So I really enjoyed being in sales, and that's why I also tried, of course, to make a career there. So I was also chasing this new roles and being able to manage a team. And it was exciting for me to always have these goals in front of me and to work on it.
I love
and
that.
Especially one more thing. You get paid what you do, right? I mean, if you hustle like crazy, you can earn a lot of money. That's also one thing I think many people in sales actually love about the job. Is if you do more, you will earn more. If you do less, you will earn less, right?
Yeah, you get what you put into it, right? And thinking about, like you said, that connotation within, like, in Germany and DACH, like, with the way that sales is perceived. Because I think, going back to my first startup, we were a US company with a London office, and we were established for, like, a year or two. And then we started opening up satellite offices, and, like, DACH and the Zora German office was one of the main things after France. And I remember the director of sales, a really cool guy called Alexander Schaller, and he was German through and through. Like, he was very precise. He was very driven. He was very process orientated, and you just could not piss this guy off because you just did not want to anger this guy.
Yeah.
I remember like when he built his team with Mesut and like all these other German reps, and we had a German living in London in our London office, who is their SDR. And there was a complete different contrast because Alexander and his team were like executives, suit and tie, you know, very sharp and everything. And Paddy, who was the SDR, German SDR, he was very casual, very young and everything. And they'd always clash. And like Paddy would say to me, like, Neil, just, I don't want to end up like them.
Yeah.
And then the German execs were like, we need him to be more structured and, you know, stop being so fluffy and everything like that. But when you're saying like the connotation of salespeople in Germany, like it's not where it should be, what has your experience of that been, and how are you, or, you know, wanting to change it, or like the way do you think it should be, Dominic?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I actually also experienced what you just described. I think many companies still have those old fashioned managers and white male guys who really, you know, wearing suits and also teaching old sales skills. that nowadays, in my opinion, doesn't work or don't work anymore. And I was lucky then when I was starting at Plio, I had my first female manager back then, Uta, and I loved her way how she managed the team. She was so empathic and I always knew that she had the best. She always wanted the best for her team, right? And it was a really nice experience for myself because then it also changed something in my mind and said how I want to be as a manager in the future, right? When I'm becoming a manager. And I've always tried to compare like my decisions to what she has done. So it was amazing experience for myself.
And it's really good and comforting to hear that, you know, you had this leader, this female sales leader that you saw to yourself as like, do you know what, if I become a manager, that's kind of how I want to be, you know, and supporting you and helping you grow is great when you get that as well. And I think in Paddy's case, there was a lot of headbutting going on and I had to kind of be the mediator between them just to make sure they didn't rip each other's throats out. But eventually it got to a point where they were able to compromise on both sides. You know, they realized each had strengths and weaknesses, and it's trying to find that middle ground. There was a lot of hard work, but we've finally got there. But I also remember, and I'd love to get your opinion on this, being an SDR, before we had Paddy and the DACH team, I had to prospect into Germany. I remember one of my specialities was media. So I tried to book a meeting with a lady called Donata Hopfen, who was the managing director of Bild.de, huge newspaper and media company.
Yeah.
And I remember having my back and forth in emails with her. And then one day I went out to Berlin. That was the first time I went to Berlin when I was with Zora. We went for a trade show event. And I remember one of Donata's team came to the booth because Donata said she's busy, she's not coming, but she'll send somebody to have a chat with us. And this guy was telling me, the way you reached out to Donata and the way the conversations you're having, that just doesn't run in Germany. That's just not how we do business. They said you have to be much more formal. You have to have some sort of presence on the ground. Your data centers have to be within Germany. Otherwise, we're not doing business with you. And, you know, it's not just a case of we have a meeting and then we buy. There's a lot of relationship building that you must do and a lot of respect that you must show. And he wasn't putting me down, but he was educating me on the way that Germans were doing business.
Yeah.
You know, and for a young 20-year-old something guy, I was like, okay, this is way above my head. But I'd like to ask your opinion of, you know, if somebody is working for a startup, DACH is their target and territory, and they may not be a native speaker like I wasn't, what advice would you give to them to do business with people from the German market?
I think there's not a one-fits-all solution, because what you just described, I think that's quite common, especially if you want to sell to Mittelstand in Germany. So if you're more conservative ICP, right? But I think that's changed also a lot over the last couple of years, because many companies, especially in tech sales, right? If you're selling software, you basically always have like tech sales as a ICP, or not all of them, but if you're selling into tech as well, it's quite young and fresh, and also young people, you know, so it's a different target group. But if you're trying to sell in for, like, let's say like BMW or like the car industry, that's exactly what you just described, right? It's very conservative. You have like several stakeholders. So it's also something I needed to learn in my career. It's just like sales is not sales, right? So it's like you have different ways of selling and different complexity. So it always depends if you have like high velocity sales selling to SMB clients, or if you have like super huge customers and you maybe have like 10 deals a year. So this impacts your approach a lot, I would say.
100%. And I think, you know, that's and another topic we need to come on to is SDRs of Germany. So as a young manager a few years back, obviously I had my ideas of what prospecting should be, and, you know, my experiences of going into the DACH market a couple of times. But I'd always say to my reps, like, go speak to SDRs that already work out there or already doing that job, or speak to AEs and everything. So, you know, when SDRs of Germany came around, I was sending all of my coaching and all my SDRs to go speak to them, because they know better than I do, because I don't live and breathe that sort of stuff. So I think It's really important to try and get those best practices. And again, a big shout out to SCRs of Germany because they're helping a lot of people. And I was speaking to Mattia this morning. Again, hello, Mattia. And just like, I'm really like happy to see that you guys are providing that support for sales yeah. development reps. But, you know, coming back to yourself, working at Pleo, looking at your LinkedIn, you know, you're a senior AE, you were a team lead and also sales manager. What was that progression like for you, Dominic? What things did you go through and what things did you learn?
So I actually always wanted to become a manager. That was always like my end goal, let's say. Yeah, when I was working in sales, I was always like, okay, one day I want to become a manager and leading a team. I think what helped me a lot in my role, it was that I had like different roles before, different target groups. And I think what you described, the ability to read people's minds and, you know, working with humans, I think that is a skill that you need if you want to become a manager. But it was way different than I thought it would be, right? So I think if you like progress in your career and you're becoming a manager, you think then you will be able to decide everything, right? And you can yeah. just make the decisions and everything will be fine. But it's not like this, right? So, and I've talked to several people in the last couple of weeks as well that experienced something similar, especially like in tech sales. I think the good thing is you can progress quite fast and become a manager quite fast in your career. And that's what a lot of people striving for. But I think many people don't really know what managing is like, right? So
yeah,
that's why I'm trying to also shed some light on what's the job about. And there were days where I was just sitting in Zoom meetings like 7 to 8 hours a day. And I was like closing my laptop and I thought, okay, I didn't do anything today because I was just listening to people and then yeah. I was talking to other people again.
Yeah.
And but you're not doing stuff anymore. You're just trying to, it's very political in some way.
Yeah.
You're just trying to solve people's problems all day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's different.
It definitely is, Dom. So I think, you know, when it was first put to me by my manager of would I consider going into leadership, initially I said hell no. Like I was an individual contributor, I was like a top SDR globally in the company, and I said, why the hell would I put my neck on the line for other people? You know, my success would be based on their performance. And you know, ultimately my end goal was to always become like a founder of my own business. And they kind of put it to me as like, look, running a company is not just selling a wicked product, it's being able to manage people and different departments and work across different departments. So
yeah.
It's a skill that will help you the hell out, right? And I agree with you. Like I've burnt out mentally a few times being a manager because you're no longer doing the day-to-day actions of prospecting, booking meetings and talking to prospects and whatnot. You're trying to coach other people to be able to do that and also find their own way. And I've always come up with the analogy of when you're a manager, you're wearing three different hats. One is the day-to-day, you know, setting up people, systems, processes, etc. The other one is you're the KPI leader, making sure people are driving towards results and outcomes. And the third one is you are a therapist, right?
True.
You're talking to people that don't know what the hell they're doing for the first time. They're having imposter syndrome every other day. People are getting peed off or pissed off about people's touching their territory, and you're constantly mitigating.
Yeah.
And you're also that wall between the SDR and the AE. So when the AE doesn't flip the op or accept the meeting, then the SDR's like, well, I did everything. It's all qualified. There's a criteria. You go to the AE. Hey, dude, what's going on? Why haven't you flipped it? Oh, this wasn't done. It wasn't a good lead. And you're trying to, it's very demanding, you know? And as you said, you'll come to the end of the day after 7-8 hours and you're like, sometimes I feel like a school teacher and I've got kids in yeah. the playground. And I'm just trying to make sure everybody's getting along with
Absolutely.
Each other as well. But I
Absolutely.
Think, you know, the advice that I'd like to ask you for our listeners and guests, like I meet a lot of SDRs who are new to this game of tech sales. And I ask them the question of, you know, career-wise, where do you want to go? I'd say 80% of those would say, I want to go into an AE closing role. Cool.
Yeah.
We'll discuss that a bit more. The other 20% and more, you know, recent, a lot of people are saying to me they'd like to consider going into management. And my question to them is, like, why is that? Like, what's the driving force? The majority of them will be honest and say it's a financial reason.
Yeah.
Or secondly, the idea of helping and coaching people and driving them to become the best versions of themselves. But if somebody came to you, Dominic, and says, hey, Dom, I'm a brand new SDR. I think leadership and management is the way that I want to go in the future. What advice would you give to them to think about?
Yeah, I think what you are doing is also is the right way to do it. I think the first question you need to ask yourself is, why do I want it? And I think that's also something I was struggling in the past a lot, because sometimes the why is not clear to you, and then it's, you know, it's tricky. Mm. So I think if it's because of the financial reason, leadership is not for you, because the best thing you can do, or the biggest amount of money you can earn is in sales, right? So it's like, if you become an individual contributor, if it's a AE, or maybe even like, there's even more complex sales, right? You can also be like a pre-sales engineer or something like this, and you can earn a shitload of money. So I think that's, if it's just a financial reason, you should stay in sales and trying to progress in the individual contributor track. I think it can be a good thing to become a manager when you're young, but also what I've seen, like when people getting promoted quite fast, and let's say they come from university, they work as an SDR for 2 years, and then they become like a leadership position for SDRs, or even for sellers, right? For account executives, they have quite low experience of how business works, and especially when they just work in one company. So they will start struggling in their role, and there will be a lot of pressure, what you just described. I mean, handling all those problems for different people. And I think one of the things I've also needed to learn, and I would give my younger self as an advice as well, is just like, take your fucking time, right? chill out.
Yeah.
I think that's super important, everything will be okay in the end, right? I think you will. Everyone will make his own career progression, and you don't need to do it in like 2 years. You can take 10 years or 15 years.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And you know, you raise some interesting points there. So I've realized through my own, I wouldn't call them failures, but experiences, right? When I got the job title of manager, went straight to my head. I got a bump in pay. I was ecstatic. And I was like, yeah, I'm the man now. Prove my worth. I'm there. And I was a horrible manager. I just didn't have that experience. I had no training. There was no programs of how do you go from IC to manager. And my team hated me in the early days, right? And I had to really work on that to become not a dick. The other thing that I've seen a lot of the time is where you get high performers and achievers that, because of their tenure and their experience, they become automatic managers, or they're promoted to that position. And their sales leaders think, yeah, you know, this guy knew how to close deals, or this girl knew how to generate X amount of ARR. They're going to be great managers. And they end up being really shit managers because they don't know how to manage people. They're great at doing the job, but trying to get other people to do the job or become top performers as well, they can struggle with it. And one real life example, when I was at Zora, I had 8 managers in the space of 1 year, right? Crazy. Because somebody took on the job, they just couldn't do it. And then it was just like a revolving door. And it got to the point where I had to kind of manage myself, but also look after the other European SDRs. And I took on the role of team lead before becoming manager, right? So yeah, to your point, don't go in for the money. The reason, I think my advice would be, if you're going to go into management, it's because you love seeing other people win. You get a hype and buzz of, you know, seeing other people succeed. And the other thing is, ask for support and training and coaching on it, because becoming a manager, it's a lot of stress. And sometimes, you know, unless you have that voice or you can speak to somebody about what's going on, you're going to sink, because that's kind of what happened to me, right? But also the thing that I'm most interested, would I be correct in saying that you were the manager of Jan Mundorf?
Yeah.
Okay. So we had Jan on the show.
Yeah.
And I heard him being a top performer, and he was like a super fun-loving guy. I loved having Jan on the show, and he's done some favors for me in the past. What was it like managing Jan? What was that relationship like?
Funny that you ask, because I was also super excited because I was following him on LinkedIn. And when I heard that he decided to come to Pleo, I was not a manager back then. I was also an AE on the way to become a manager and a team lead. And in the beginning, we didn't work together, but he was in a different team. But then when I was getting promoted to a manager, he was actually, I said, you need to come to my team. I want to work with you. So what I love about Jan is just like, he's super passionate about what he's doing and he's very humble guy, right? So he always tries to become better at what he's doing. And he's like super focused and like learning new stuff and trying to get better and better and better. And I think also to what you said before, I think one of the skills you need is learning and development, like being able to train yourself or be coachable and trying to be better than you have been yesterday. I think that's super, super important also when you become a manager. And don't think you know everything, because this is just not true. And this is also one of the reasons Jan and me also are part of the SDRs of Germany community, because you have so many people in there, not only SDRs, but also managers and AEs that having everyday problems, right? So it's just like, and that's something I think also we need to learn in sales, that it's not about competition. It's more about if you connect with other people working in sales, this will help you a lot in your career. It doesn't matter where you want to go, but being able to connect to people and to build your own network early on also as an SDR will help you a lot in the future.
I couldn't agree more, because I think if I go back like 10 years, a lot of the time it was this whole competition thing, like who can be top performer, who can be top dog. And I'll be bluntly honest right now, I never cared about being the best at whatever I was doing, right? I didn't care about being the best SDR. I didn't care about being the best AE. What I wanted to do was be able to do it and enjoy doing it, you know? And I think one of the biggest strengths you can have is asking for help. You know, speaking to those people that have worn your shoes, or I think the analogy I put on LinkedIn the other day, those people's past who is your future. You know, and finding a collective mind of being able to talk to people and ask them, how did you do this? How did you overcome that? Like, and Jan taught me the most beautiful phrase that I still hold today. Neil, whatever problems you have already been solved, is what he said to me. Because he says, whatever you're struggling with, there is somebody out there that's probably gone through. You just need to go find them. That's the mission for you.
Yeah.
But I think that would be a beautiful segue into, as you mentioned, SDRs of Germany. How did you get involved with that crew?
Actually, it was also in my podcast, or basically through Jan. I think Jan was also the one who introduced me to my co-founder, Julius, with the Artist Circus. So also Jan was... from the beginning, what I really loved about him is like his personal brand on LinkedIn. I think it was super inspiring for me how he did this. And I wanted to learn from him as well. Even though I was his manager, I asked him, like, what are you doing there? And, you know, I want to learn as well. So I think also like looking into what he's doing there is he tries to help people with his posts. I think that's what's super important if you want to build your personal brand. Don't post about your company all day. Try to help people, and then you will get your followership, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, the reason I was actually attending or like being an ambassador for SDRs of Germany was I was reaching out to Mattia back then when I started my podcast and asked her if she wants to be on my show. And actually, really nice episode. You should listen to it.
I'm going to check it.
Because back then, she was an SDR at SalesLoft. And she was explaining how she's actually hitting her quota every month. Like on the 15th of the month, she was already through.
Yeah.
And back then, it was like 1.5 years ago, she decided to start this new community called SDRs of Germany. Because back then, there was no community for sellers or SDRs, like German-speaking sellers in DACH. And yeah, you know, that's why I was a little bit already connected to her, and I saw her journey, and I asked her at one day, like, hey, how can I participate? Like, I really love what you're doing. I want to be there. And Jan was already an ambassador, so I decided to also jump on the train and build this community. And yeah, now we built our own community, kind of not community, but we're also working together with SDRs of Germany, because the circus actually also, we have the same vision, let's say like this. We want to change this perception of this what I described before, this old sales guy, right? To something new and fresh, and want to help people, what we also discussed before, to build their network early on and to connect to other salespeople, and especially to learn new and really fresh sales techniques and methodologies, to be able to connect with the best top talents in Europe.
That's freaking awesome. And it's such a small world, you know, like the way that all of us, like me meeting Jan, you working with Jan, you reaching out to Mattia and asking how can I get involved, me speaking to Mattia this morning about coming onto our podcast show as well. Yeah. It's just so weird that the way that things intercross, that it kind of feels fateful at the same time. And I freaking love this energy across the sea, across lands, different continents, etc. This is freaking cool. And this is what I love about sales. It can bring so many people together, and especially when you have that mission of helping other people and empowering them by connecting them into a bigger community and group. And obviously with the circus, we are definitely going to get there, because this is really interesting. And I also want to share like a little bit of a cool why I think this is one of the most amazing things in the world. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, podcast host to podcast host, you also have the Sales and Pepper podcast, right? Yeah. Could you just give us a bit of like the headlines? How did that come about? What is it about? And, you know, why should people listen to that, Dominic?
Yeah. Actually, I was invited to a podcast a couple of years ago from Caro Breuninger from Dearfront. She had like a sales podcast, Girl in Sales. And I was invited to the podcast with my former manager, Uta. I talked about her previously. And that was my first podcast experience, and I really liked it. And then having Jan joining Pleo, he also told me that he has his own show on at Albacross.
Yeah.
And then we talked about this whole thing, and I thought back then I was an AE myself, and I was like, hey, how can I build a new channel for myself to approach people? And I think the podcast was quite nice, because then it was not a cold calling or something like this. It was just like reaching out to people, say, hey, you have a nice profile in LinkedIn, I would love to interview you. And it was a nice way to actually to book meetings. I mean, I had them on the podcast. I met amazing people. Also, like you described, like Mattia, for example, or others, I still in contact with those people. So it was really building nice relationships. And when I started the podcast, that was not my intention. I was just like saying, hey, I want to use it as a channel for my outreach. But then I recognize how powerful this podcast was. And I also thought about, okay, what kind of people would I love to talk to? So what I did is just screening LinkedIn for interesting profiles. And even though the name is Sales and Pepper, in the beginning, it was more like a new work podcast. It was more about the people I'm interviewing. And the idea of the podcast, I was reading a book called Tools of Titans from Tim Ferriss back then. I don't know if you heard about this book.
No.
And Tim Ferriss was an author, and he was interviewing the most successful people like on earth, right? Like Arnold Schwarzenegger and all those kind of people. And just like two or three sides in the book was about the whole interview. Like, what was your secret of success for financial advice, career, and health? And it's super interesting, because you always have like two or three sides, and it's super inspiring, because you just open the book and you will find something that will inspire you. And when I was reading the book, that was actually the idea of the podcast, that I want to inspire people and hearing stories of people that have been successful in something or did had failures in their career. And that what you described, what Jan said, like the failures had already been done. So learn from them. So that's why I decided to start the podcast. And now, after 1.5 years, it's getting more and more like a sales podcast. So I'm having more guests that are actually working in sales. And we're also discussing sales topics. But still, I think the reason why people listen to the podcast is that it's not just about sales. It's just a little bit of, you know, more diverse, and people like to hear those kind of stories from people. I also interviewed founders, CFOs, SDRs, you know, it's like super, super diverse.
I love that. And for our listeners and watchers, I'll be putting links into Dominic's podcast. So if you want to check it out, and from one podcast host, I would ask all of my guests and listeners to subscribe, listen, and share, and help a fellow podcaster out with his show as well. And a lot of that resonates with me, Dom, because, you know, I went onto somebody else's podcast, freaking loved it, and thought, I want to do this. And then, you know, trying to find my niche, which was my passion, which is SDRs, meeting new SDRs and creating this show to help and inspire.
Yeah.
And, you know, not just talk about the tactical sort of stuff, but also, you know, the people behind that. What's their story? Can it inspire other people that maybe have gone through similar journeys to get into this gig? Because it's one of the most beautiful professions to get into. But equally, like you said, you know, to book meetings. Like I say this on my Instagram stories where if my podcast was a revenue generating startup, it'd be super successful because I'm forever prospecting people. I'm getting people onto the show. I give them, you know, the discovery call and then we commit to the demo, which is now, and it closes and then it goes for release. Like I freaking love prospecting for the show and using my prospecting techniques to get people on. And that keeps me still as an SDR fresh for this, right? If I could only do it for my own business, I'd be, you know, like raking it in, right? Yeah. But it's like, you know, having that passion to do this sort of stuff, which then, you know, kind of brings me on to the pièce de résistance, which is, all right, so just before we dive into this, I know you're thinking, you know, we need to get to this, hurry up, hurry up, hurry. But I have to give a little bit of context before going into this beautiful thing that Dom's creating. So for some of my listeners and watchers know that I work in the world of music outside of sales, right? So I've been a club host, an MC slash rapper for 25 plus whatever years, and I've performed in some of the biggest venues like in London and some places across Europe, right? And it was because of music that I got my first tech job, because the recruiter knew somebody from my music life, and that's how we had a meeting one day and we had that discussion, you know, and I broke into tech. And in a lot of company kickoffs, Dom, when they hired a DJ and all the staff and everybody's doing the sales kickoff at the end when having that party, Neil would be that guy with a microphone. And I remember speaking to a CEO, I think it was about 2 years ago, and he had a company which was working with a lot of SDRs. And I went to this guy and I said, dude, we need to put on a rave for SDRs, right? I would love to host an event. We bring a lot of salespeople and we party. And I could marry both worlds of music and sales together. And that's always, it's on my vision board, right? I have it as the SDR rave. And I'm a firm believer in manifesting. So audience, imagine this. I meet this guy called Dominic and seeing that he's doing some beautiful event and he's able to then marry those both worlds. So I'm going to shut the hell up now. And Dominic, could you please tell us what is the artist circus all about?
Sure. So as you already described perfectly, it's the first festival in Europe for talent and working in sales and customer success. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? We're creating like an amazing lineup of speakers and you're one of them, but we will talk about this later. We have like around 80 to 100 different workshops and keynotes from people working in sales and customer success. So what was important for us is that we don't want to be this like just another conference or something like this. So this is going to be an event purely for individual contributor and their managers. And so you, if you're working as an SDR, you can come there and you will have like a stage from 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. We will have different content and speakers speaking about their experience in their roles. And as you said, like we have a couple of people speaking there, like very, very well known on LinkedIn, from Jan Mundorf to Mattia, also Patrick speaking there. We have Kian Berg from Revolut. So there's like a couple of people that are really, really successful in what they're doing and sharing their experience with you. And afterwards, we will have a big party from 6 p.m. until 4 in the morning. And as you said, there will be great DJs, MCs. So it will be a really, really nice event. And we have foods and drinks included all day. So it's going to be a blast.
I cannot wait. So, what is it, 19th of April, 2024?
Yes.
The Artist Circus in Berlin.
It's on a Friday, so you can stay the whole weekend if you would like to.
Oh, dude, I'm going to come out a couple of days early just to get myself set up for this. But,
literally,
when you positioned this to me on our first call together, Dom, I was sitting there just wanting to jump up and down. But, he did it. He freaking did it. He actually did what was Neil's dream, and you're making it a reality. And, and again, I'm very grateful for you allowing me to come be a speaker, because, again, one of my other life goals is I want to be the Jay Shetty for SDRs. I want to, I always said, one day I want to go do a conference and do, a keynote speaking. And this is going to be the first time I'm doing it. So I'm shitting bricks, admittedly, because I always get nervous about things. But when I saw you, when you positioned it to me, Dominic, as the Tomorrowland,
of sales.
For sales and customer success. Yeah. I was like, dude, let's freaking do this, man. This is wunderbar.
Yeah, absolutely. Funny story is that's how my co-founder pitched it to me, right? It's he was coming to me. It's Dom, I want to build a Tomorrowland for sales and customer success. And I was just asking him, okay, where do I need to sign? It's
exactly.
This is working amazing.
It is. And even before we got into the call, I was I'm in. I was just this is me. I'm doing it. And as you mentioned, there are so many great people that are going to be at this event. And, a lot of people that I know virtually that I'm going to be able to meet face to face. And as you said, this is for the ICs. These are for SDRs. This is for CS. There are so many cool topics. And obviously, and for insight for our listeners and watchers, when Dominic said to me, Neil, there's going to be some DJs, I was like, that I'm a professional MC and I would love to, come and help out. And you're like, yeah, let's do it. And I was like, cool, bro. I remember I got off that call, Dom, and I phoned my sister, I phoned my friends. I was like, guys, guess what? I'm going to Germany next year and they're doing a rave for sales. So again, I'm so happy about this. And again, without a doubt, you can find information, guests and listeners of the event. It will be in the show notes. We may be helping out some of our listeners with some special info, so make sure that you check the show note details to see what's going on down with the Artist Circus. But a question that I would like to ask you, because I got DM'd today on Instagram, they said, Neil, what is the theme of a circus, and why is it a circus, and how does that marry with sales? What was the vision behind that, Dom?
I think one of the reasons why we decided to call it Artist Circus, so AR Artist, is of course because of ARR, right? So it's connected to the whole SaaS thing. Mm. But the circus, I think it's about, you go there because you want to have fun. And there's a lot of festivals already that are actually going to have this circus theme, right? Because I think people love to go there because it's exciting and, but it's also about, in the circus, if you're at the circus, it's always about being a team, right? And, building trust with the other artist if you're performing. And I think that's also, you can relate and connect this to sales teams and customer success teams as well, right? Mm. Because then if you build trust and if you go there as a team, you will have fun and you will perform better afterwards, right? Because you can go there, you can learn. And I mean, even if you come alone and invest in your career, you will meet an amazing bunch of people there and you can learn a lot. And as said, building your network early on is, I think, one of the most important things you can do. So it's a great investment in yourself and you can have fun while doing it. I think that's kind of this ikigai thing, right? I know you heard about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do what you love and get paid for it, right? I think that's exactly what we are trying to achieve here, that you can actually go there, learn something, be better than you have been yesterday and having fun while doing it.
Hell yeah, mein Bruder. I completely agree with you. I'm sold. I'm, like I said, when I had my call with you a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I'm down. And again, for our listeners and watchers, this is in Germany. And as Dom said, this is something to invest in yourself. So the reason I got into sales was I went to a networking event in London on my own accord. Right, it wasn't directed being my manager. I just went because I wanted to find out what are salespeople like, what can I learn, and it was because I met somebody at this networking event that I got my first tech job. And there's a whole bunch of cool SaaS tech, innovative companies that are also sponsoring this event as well. And here's an opportunity to meet those sort of people. So, yeah, there'll be special information about tickets, offers, etc. So check the show notes, check out the website. And Dom, I can't wait to come give you a big hug when we when we meet in Berlin next year. I freaking love this dude.
Yeah, and I think also one important point I want to point out here is like many companies have their learning and development budget. So if you want to come to Berlin and you think it's a great idea to invest, also feel free to reach out to me on LinkedIn and make an introduction to your sales leaders. So we can try to convince them to send you to the event, because then you don't need to pay out of your own pocket. And we will try to manage that maybe you can come with your whole team.
I think that is a freaking cool idea, and I co-sign that. So yeah, do you know what? Like, using your L&D budget to come towards an event, which is a professional event, but where you're going to have fun and you're going to meet some cool people as well. So I think that's some great advice there, Dom. I love it. So you know what? This is like been one of the greatest shows on earth, Dom. I've friggin' enjoyed this episode, and I hope all our listeners and watchers have as well. And the question that I like to ask all of my guests is, if you were speaking to the Dom of 10, 15 years ago, who's maybe working in that hotel or within that hospitality sector, what three bits of advice would you give to that young Dom?
Yeah, I think what one advice I already said is like, take your time and don't rush it. I think that's super important. Second advice I would give my younger self is, build your network early on. I think this building network and connecting to people. I feel like if I would have knew this before, I would be much more successful or even like faster than I am now. And I think the third one, and this is something I've also learning right now in new role as a co-founder, is the power of execution. Right. So I was always someone who had lots of ideas and plans in my head and was always talking to friends about this. And they all said, hey, you have such so great ideas. But I never really started. It was always just the plan in my head. So what I found really powerful over the past 10 years is what you just described. Write it down. And I'm doing this like also once a year after New Year's Eve. I'm doing my plans and I'm doing like revisiting what I did the whole year and writing down things. This is, for me at least, it's a huge thing because it motivates me, and it's also showing the progression I had over the last couple of years. Yeah. So when I look at my notes from 2015, for example, I'm like, fuck, this is like a huge progression. Yeah. But you will start forgetting about all those stuff you wanted to do at 2015. So it's super, super important to write it down. And I think also not being afraid of just do stuff, right? And you can start very small, but, you know, progression.
You have to start.
Right? It's just like, just start doing. Don't be afraid of failure. I think that's super important.
I love it. Thank you so much. So, you know, make sure that you take your time. Don't rush. Build your network. And manifest like a motherfucker, you know, write that stuff down, but make sure that you execute on it. Otherwise, it will just be another dream. Or as we've seen with Neil, I thought about an SDRA, but I did nothing about it. But the difference between me and Dom is he did it and he's doing it. And I'm looking forward to it next year, dude. And are there any shout outs that you'd like to give today on today's show?
I mean, we had a couple of shout outs already. But of course, a big shout out to my co-founder, Juris, that he convinced me to build this amazing event. And of course, SDOs of Germany and all listeners out there.
Love it, my man. Thank you so much. And again, a big thank you to our listeners and watchers for joining us on this chapter and episode today. You'll be able to find all the links mentioned in today's episode within the show notes and links. So make sure you check them out. And if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, please make sure that you give us a rating and subscribe and share. And if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe down below. But Dominik Klingberg, it's been an absolute pleasure to meet you, sir. I'm wishing you a successful week. I know we're going to be talking more as well, but thank you so much and happy selling.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Thank you for listening to the SDR Disco Call podcast today. We would like to get this message out to more and more sales development reps, so please like, comment, and share in your local podcast provider. If you don't want to miss a show, you can always send a blank email to SDR discocall, one word, at bcast, which is bcast.email, and you'll be added to our mailing list. We're also on the lookout for new guests, so if you work in the world of sales development as an SDR, BDR, MDR, or ADR, and feel that you have an important message or story to share, feel free to email us at podcast@happyselling.io, and we'd love to have you on board.